She went and did according to the word of Elias, and he ate, and she and her house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our epistle this morning, children, for the Lenten Mass of the Tuesday of the second week in Lent gives us a story from Mount Carmel. That phrase, Mount Carmel, that name, should be familiar to all of us. Why? Because we're all honorary members of the same order that the little flower belonged to when she entered the Carmelite convent, it is called. How are we honorary members? Well, remember that the Carmelite order is the oldest order in the church dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And all of us, on the occasion at St. Gertrude's of our confirmation day, are dedicated to our Blessed Mother, and we are enrolled in the brown scapular. That's the habit of Mount Carmel. And it's a little bit of brown cloth, brown wool, technically, that we wear in the front and in the back to show our dedication to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and how we belong to this ancient order. So today we have the first one who went to Mount Carmel, and he was a prophet of God, and he had many prophets who followed him, and he was also a very prayerful man and a hermit. His followers, tradition says, always stayed on Mount Carmel, and they were the first to come to get baptized on Pentecost Sunday, and the first to build a little chapel in honor of Our Lady while she was even still alive on this earth, Mount Carmel. So St. Teresa is a Carmelite, and you are too. If you have your scapular, if you've received it, I mean, in church, are you careful to wear it? Lent would be an excellent time to check that we're wearing our scapular. Sometimes people don't like to wear it because it gets a little itchy, but there you have it. That's a little penance that won't kill anybody. And sometimes they break or they get lost or things like that, but we always keep on wearing our scapular. Do you need a scapular? Ask the bishop. I happen to have a box full, and I would be very happy to give it to you at no charge, so we all can really be children of Mary and honorary members of St. Teresa's order, the Carmelites. Now, to the story. God sent a famine upon the earth, which came as a result of there not being any rain. Out west, they're worried about there not being enough rain, and probably there won't be a famine, but a lot of farmers and cattlemen will lose their living, they say, unless you get a lot of rain this year. We seem to have plenty of rain, at least here today in Cincinnati, don't we? Well, the punishment from God was that there wasn't any rain a long time ago during the time of the prophet Elias, because God's people were being bad and they were worshiping horrible idols and demons and things instead of worshiping the one true God in his temple in Jerusalem. Well, because Elias was a prophet of God, God protected him as he protected the little flower, as he protects you. And he sent him to a certain city way in the north that was mostly pagan, called Sarepta. And there God said, I'm going to let you know about a certain lady, and you can stay at her house, and she's going to feed you every day until the famine is over and everybody has food. So he obeyed, he left his own land, and he went there, and he saw a lady, just as our Lord told him he would, and she was a widow. She was wearing black, because in the old days widows would wear black out of mourning, and she was gathering wood. And he said to her, oh, could I have a glass of water? And even though there was not very much rain, there was a drought in the land, she said, oh, I could get you a glass of water. And so she went to get him a glass of water because he was thirsty. And then very casually she called after him and she said, oh, he said to her, oh, bring me one of those little hearth cakes, won't you? What's a hearth cake? It's a symbol of the Blessed Sacrament. It's a little kind of a roll, we would say a bread roll, Carol, sort of, is a little bit like that, that they used to make right in the oven under the ashes. So that's the Latin name for it, sub cineritium panem, and under the ash bread. It was baked in a special way. Well, she turned around when he asked her for bread. She turned around and she said, "I'm telling you the truth. We don't have any more bread. All I have is a little bit of cooking oil and a little bit of dough. And as a matter of fact, I was getting together 2 pieces of wood and I was going to bake the bread for myself and my son. And then after that, we would eat it and then we would die because there's no more food in the land. That's it." Well, Elias said to her, because he's a prophet of God, he said to her, "Well, now listen, don't worry about that. Just do what I say." Ah, obedience. How obedient a prophet is to God. How obedient the little flower always was to her superiors, whether it was her daddy, her older sisters who took care of her, she was very obedient to them, or to the sister superior at the convent. She was always very obedient. And so she was obedient to this lady, even though she was a pagan woman, and she did exactly what the prophet said, which was what? Go and bake the bread and then bring it to me and you'll see there's going to be enough food. So she didn't know what to think, but she obeyed. When in doubt, children, do what you're told. That's the very best way to do things. So she obeyed and she brought him back. It didn't take too long to cook it. It was kind of a fast food back then, the little hearth cake. And then he said, "Good, now go make some more." And there was just as much dough in the bowl as there had been before, and just as much cooking oil. And so she put the cooking oil on the little tray, and she put it in the oven, and there was enough for her and her son. And that night for supper, there was enough again, and there was enough for breakfast, and so forth. They never ran out. What does that story tell us, children? God loves us. He protects us. He takes care of us, and he gives us the food for our souls, which is what? The Blessed Sacrament. Most people today don't even have the Blessed Sacrament anymore or a valid Mass. But we do. Our Lord has protected us and taken care of us. So much the more that we should love him, trust him, and always be obedient. Back in the time of St. Teresa, there was an unusual custom that had started in the church, and it wasn't a very good custom at all. It had really been influenced by false teaching or by heresy. What was the custom? The custom was that people thought that they were never worthy to go to communion, and so they made it a law you had to go once a year, but most people would only go once. Even if they were devout, they would only go at the most once a month or so. And even nuns in their convent were not allowed to go to communion every day. That was very hard on holy souls who loved our Lord and wanted to have the privilege, as you have here, of receiving our Lord every day in Holy Communion at Holy Mass. Indeed, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, she comes at the end of May, she became a Carmelite too, and she became a Carmelite just because those sisters could go to communion more often. I think that in her time, the time of the little flower, they could only go about 3 or maybe 4 times a week, but not every day. Never could they go every day to communion. And the priest who was their chaplain and said Mass for them wanted them to go to communion, and he really could have given them permission, but the sister in charge, well, she had her own ideas, and she was very stubborn, and her name was Mother de Gonzaga, and she wasn't going to have anything with that business about going to daily communion. She was against it, and she intimidated the priest, that nun did, and he was afraid to go against her, and so the sisters didn't get to go to communion every day. It's a bit like the story in the Gospel our Lord tells about those who sit on the chair of Moses and who have authority, but aren't really doing the right thing. Well, Teresa was always very obedient and respectful to the sister in charge, but she knew that she was wrong, and one day she had a very respectful but candid, we say, an open discussion with her about things, and she couldn't persuade the Mother Superior to start letting the sisters go to communion more often. So at the end of her talk, she said something like a prophet. What's a prophet? One of the meanings of a prophet, children, is someone who knows and speaks about the future according to God's will. So St. Teresa said, I can't persuade you now, Reverend Mother, but when I'm in heaven, I'm going to change your mind. And you'll see the rules about Holy Communion will be changed. And it came about exactly as the little flower prophesied. And so the old priest, who was afraid to go against the very strong, determined, and proud Mother Superior, he died just a little bit after the little flower. They died at about the same time. And there was a new priest sent to be the chaplain of the convent. And when he got there, the first thing he did was to give his first sermon about frequent Holy Communion. And from then on, nobody said anything. But the Reverend Mother said that all the sisters could go to communion if they wanted to, and they were ready. That is to say, no mortal sin on your soul, and fasting. Today we only have to fast for 3 hours. Back then they had to fast for longer. If they wanted to go, they were able to go. She carried out her promise, and she fulfilled her prophecy, children. I'll change your mind when I'm in heaven. That's one of the remarkable things about the little flower. She was very humble and obedient, but she also knew the future, and she knew that God would use her for many good things. St. Teresa was so obedient, by the way, that even when all of the other sisters in the convent were doing something wrong, she never did. Sometimes even the Reverend Mother herself and some of the sisters were talking in the hallway when they weren't supposed to be. Just as, you know, you have to have times yourself, children in school, not talking out of turn. Well, she never stopped and talked with them, even though the superior was there and she could. Oh, no, she didn't. And when the superior said, I want such and such a door to be open or such and such a door to be closed, or I want you to walk this way or never go that way, she always remembered. And she always obeyed, even when all of the other sisters forgot and started doing it a different way. How did she get that strength? Well, from her communions. She loved our Lord very much, and he fed her with his own body, his own sacred body and precious blood, and that gave her the strength to be joyfully obedient in all things. And for the rest, God took care of her. And after her death, he took care of all of the sisters and all the children of the church eventually, that they could all go to Holy Communion as often as they were worthily prepared. What a wonderful thing. Let's thank our Lord today that we can receive him as often as we want to and are properly prepared in Holy Communion. And let's pray that many, many children more will and will really want to do that. And maybe a fruit of our communion today, children, will be that we'll be extra obedient and extra respectful, not only here at school, as I'm sure you are, but even when you get home tonight, surprise your mother and father by your good attitude. And if they wonder what made the difference, you could say, I went to Holy Communion today. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.